talking about. See, even with off-microphone comments like that, the post hit by me, Rick Emerson.
Oh, my God, you've got to stop with the post thing.
It's never going
to
stop.
You realize that it's not funny or amusing to anyone but yourself.
It's amusing to me,
yeah.
And that's what matters in this
okay.
world. In this kooky, in this ever-changing world in which we live in, that is what matters. Hey, by the way, I'd like to thank the people at Fireside Books for giving us this. This is from Jessica C. Knapp, publicity manager at Fireside Books, presenting us the booking information for potty train your child in just one day. Proven. Imagine if this is how you had to introduce yourself to people at singles bars. Potty train your child in just one day. Proven secrets of the potty pro. I know we've all got to make a living, and the construction work is not for everybody. And then it goes on. 1, 2, 3, 4, including a sample daily schedule for training your child. This is like the, like I was at Fred Meyer the other day, and like you see those products sometimes, and maybe this is just a me thing, but you're at the store, you're at the supermarket, and you see, let me ask you this. Whenever you're at the supermarket and you see someone buying a turkey baster, do you automatically assume that they're going home to impregnate a lesbian? It goes through your head. You know it does.
What's wrong with you?
Can you hear me in the back? Okay, I'm just saying. I'm just saying that there are certain products I'm not trying to do a whole... What are some other products that you see that... I'm just making the observation, because like 3 weeks ago, I'm in line there at the Safeway. And there's like a woman behind me. And it's like the most inexplicable, like a thing of lettuce and like some Band-Aids, turkey baster. And then the train just rolls through my head. And so I'm at Fred Meyer the other day, and I'm walking through... I'm going to that book section, because you got to get to that's where the CD-ROMs are, in that electronic section that is, as they say, kitty or catty corner. To the books, and they're selling this huge pink, I swear to Christ, it's a pop-up book called Big Girls Use the Potty. Oh. And you see it, and you don't want to think about the trench-coated men who come in there and purchase that at 2 in the morning, but you know they exist. Anyway, so we've got this. This is the Potty Train Your Child in Just One Day, Proven Secrets of the Potty Pro. And then on the back side here, there is a... Why would you possibly want to send this to somebody? Sample chronology of activities for potty training day. And then there's this whole creepy sort of, you know, give special gift to child, potty training doll. All things that we will never have to do on this program, by the way.
He's 37 seconds late. Oh, my gosh, no, he's a
are
minute.
Are we calling, now is Scotty calling him? Oh, we're supposed to be calling him.
Oh, are we calling him?
All right, so I'll tell you what, Don Rickles is going to be joining us here just a few. It's 503-733-2. 970. So as soon as Scotty is done screening whoever this is on line one, we're going to have him come in here, and we will obtain the presence of one Donald Rickles on the phone. All right. So Scotty, do me.
Do you want to have them call him?
Is Scotty, do me. Well, he's writing this out here.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Scotty. Come on in.
Call him precisely. Why don't you come? We're already late.
He can't tell time anymore. What do you do, Scotty? Come on in here. See, the great thing is I can say all sorts of cutting and cruel things about Don Rickles because he's Don Rickles. All right, so we're going to test your guest wrangling skills here. So we are going to mic you while you pick up the phone and call Don Rickles' people.
This is kind of a behind-the-scenes thing.
We are pulling back the curtain, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't put your drink so close to the board.
Yeah, why don't you...
We do want to complete this.
Why don't you try to balance that soda right on a microphone above the board?
Your water bottle is actually kind of freaking me out.
I'm going to move this over here.
Okay.
My cup is safely over here. It can only drench the host.
The best part of that yesterday, though, literally was actually listening in my headphones as I could hear the water eating away at the electronics inside the board. Like, there's the spill, and then there's like a 3-second pause, and then it was a lot of...
Okay,
all right, okay?
There you go.
Scotty J is now, he's now booking Don Rickles, insult comedian.
That's Don Rickles.
Don Rickles is going to be the performing.
Scotty J calling from KCMD Radio in Portland, Oregon for the Rick Emerson Show.
He's doing well.
Very good.
He sounds professional.
Mm-hmm, he does. They know who he is.
Oh, he's Don Rickles' favorite.
Would you like to hear the chicken dance? Happy Bar Mitzvah. Would you like to hear Busta move?
I guess he's on hold.
Yeah, so when you're done, you'll hit the whole button there. Is it Don Rickles or was it one of his people?
Gotcha.
See, because if he answers the phone, here's the thing.
Well, I think he's watching us.
I learned this when I interviewed Scott Farrell years ago. If they answer the phone directly, that means it's likely their home phone number, which means you put it in, which means you put it in your Rolodex. All right, hold on.
Wow.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. You all know our next guest. He is the original insult comedian, truly one of a kind, a man who is a template and an archetype for generations of comedians to follow. Over 100 Tonight Show appearances, of course, the Dean Martin Show, 24 films. He's going to be at Chinook Winds Casino next Friday and Saturday, the 9th and the 10th. You want to find out more, you can go to rickemerson.com. Let us welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, the one, the only, the legendary, Don Rickles. Don, how are you?
Well, thank you for that introduction. You could make it longer. I could have hung up.
I'm trying to get on your good side early on.
Oh, that was
Don.
Very nice. I appreciate it.
Thank you. So,
It's funny, Rick. This is my first time in Oregon. And all the years I've worked all around the country, I've never worked in Oregon, so I'm looking forward to it.
So this is next Friday and Saturday. From the day we announced this, we have people calling about this because, you're the guy who set the standard for the comedian that isn't necessarily going to be nice to people. There was this time when you went to see a comedian, you went to see a comic, and it was very clean, very milquetoast, very vanilla. And did you have a day where you woke up and you're like, screw that, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to, people walk in and nothing's safe.
Well, actually, to make a long story short, after 55 years, it started in joints that I worked in. Those days were called striptease places, and which today is mild compared to the standards. But I used to do impressions like a million other comedians, and I started talking to the audience and talking to my surroundings. And I must say that I got this title, insult comedian, which is not really the case. I've lived with it. It's really exaggeration, and I'm never mean-spirited and just making fun of myself, life around us, and everybody that's in sight that I find, but the show is not based, there's a beginning, middle, and an ending, but it's not based strictly on, ripping up at people. When I first started, it was pretty much like that. But it's entirely different today, but it has, as I say to young people, I am certainly different, as you can see when I perform. It's a different style than anybody else has, that's for sure.
Do you find that you get, when you do these shows, that you have different generations come see? Because the people I know that are my age, and I'm 33, everybody knows the name, Don Rickles.
What's happened is, Rick, like your age and younger, parents have seen me, and then it gets around and say, go see Rickles. Now, in Las Vegas, my audiences are around your age, and I certainly have older folks, too. But there's a great deal of your age group that come and see me, which I'm very flattered about, and I love to see when they do come. Because it's not per se jokes. It's the show changes every night about 10%, and it's about things around us, you know what I'm saying?
You really made your name early on as one of those guys that Frank Sinatra would come to see you, of course, and Frank Sinatra would, and that was in the time when nobody said anything even remotely insulting to Frank Sinatra.
Right. Well, again, as I say, I made fun of Frank, and he became a great friend and a great laugh, and I miss him. He was terrific with me. And Johnny Carson was also, we had great times when I did the Tonight Show with him, because he would throw away the notes, and we would just talk, and it became an event.
Well, Carson, and I just actually found this a couple weeks ago. There's a, I was in a record store, and I found on vinyl a record that came out in the 70s or so, and I'm going to be playing some of these cuts next week as we kind of lead up to your show, and it was a vinyl two-record Best of Carson collection, and it was just a bunch of clips from the Tonight Show, from some of the anniversary shows, and you listen to it, and it was just a who's who of not just the comedy at the time, but everybody at the time. You're on there, and of course Dean Martin is on there, Tony Bennett is on there, and I mean, how does it feel to be the guy, though, that people look now, that people look at you as the guy that set the standard? I mean, do you...
I hope to live forever, which is not going to happen, but what happens is that I've received young people, which I'm very flattered about, have given me a great deal of, shall I use the word respect, but they've treated me with a lot of dignity, because when I started out doing this, it was a rough road, because as I say, being different was very difficult in my beginnings, but thank goodness it got me to Oregon.
And you've done the, of course, along the way, you did the television series, you're saying about Tonight Show over 100 times. You did, people may not know this, you were in Casino, the Martin Scorsese film.
Yeah, well, that was the one where I carried Robert De Niro, yeah.
Yeah.
And I did one last year with a wonderful actor, Bill Macy, for TNT. It was called Wilcap, and I enjoyed doing that. So when acting opportunities come along, even to this day, I'm open for it. And right now, my son and John Landis, a fine director, they're working on a project now about me, and I'm very excited about it.
Is this a thing that you're just going to do until the very end? You were going to wake up every single day, you're going to go out there, and you're just going to work all the way through? You ever reach a point where you're just like, I'm just going to sit home and golf?
Well, not really, because as long as I have my health and as long as people show up to see me, I'll be there. When the day comes that the door closes, certainly it'll end. But right now, I enjoy doing it, and I look forward to each engagement.
You go out there, so Chinook Winds Casino is a great place, and this is happening, by the way, next Friday and Saturday, Don Rickles, Chinook Winds Casino. You can find the ticket information at rickemerson.com. When you go to do a show at a place like this, I mean, do you go out, do you gamble, you eat, you use all the, you know, or do you just go in, you do the show, and then you just kind of, you know, you just kind of call it a night, or are you out there at the craps table?
Well, believe it or not, Rick, in 55 years they told me when I first started in Vegas some 40-some-odd years ago, they said, listen, if you don't gamble, you're not going to hold your job. And it sounds kind of nuts, but to this day, I'm not a card player. I've never gambled, though I kid it around once in a while by a slot machine. In fact, I did a movie with David Jansen, rest his soul, and the director, what's his name? He said, Don, I'm supposed to be a crooked dealer. And they asked me to do cards, deal the cards. And I had to double my hands. My hands were dancing all over the place. So I'm not a card player, and I never gambled, believe it or not.
So talk about the gambling in Vegas. I mean, you are a guy, and you must get asked about this all the time. It probably bugs you to a certain point. But you were there for what everybody my age kind of calls the Rat Pack era now. You know, and there's I don't know if you, did you see the new Ocean's 11, the George Clooney Ocean's 11?
Not the new one that they're doing now, but I saw the other ones, yeah.
And did they, I mean, what was it like to be there kind of in that era where there was just the whole focus of the world was on Vegas and Frank and Dean and you guys and all of you just there kind of just, did it feel at the time, did you know that you were at the center of this huge thing that people would talk about forever?
Well, yeah, it was kind of exciting because we, at 5 o'clock, I was fortunate to be part of the group that we all met in the steam room, and Frank and Dean and Joey Bishop and Sammy Davis and Vic Damone and anybody that was really working in town. And we all had special bathrobes, which I'm writing in a book, which will come out and tell the whole story. But we had great times in the steam room, and I felt that you were part of the elite in the Sands. And it was great fun. Each night we met before we went on the stage, and we had to... We had good times.
Do you feel like there's anybody around kind of now that is carrying on that standard? Is there anybody that does anything that you look at and you go, hey, that's original, that's great, I respect that? Or do you feel it's kind of a bygone era?
Well, I think it's an era that it's in the past, unless I've heard of something. But I really haven't heard of anything like that, the Rat Pack kind of days. It doesn't seem to exist anymore.
All right, so coming up next Friday and Saturday, Don Rickles, the Chinook Winds Casino. And you say you got a book coming out, too. Is that going to be sometime in the near future?
Well, in the next year, yeah, it'll come out. And I'm very proud of it because I write with a fellow called David Ritz, who wrote many books, but it's really all my style, my tempo and my thoughts, and it's my book. I'm writing it.
And you have, is this a documentary or a movie about you? What is this movie that they're working on right now?
Well, that's going to be a DVD, and then maybe to the film festival. It can go either way. It could be a motion picture or a DVD set. But at this point, they're still putting it together, and I'll know more about it when we're finished. It'll tell pretty much, again, my life. And with some great stories.
So a couple other brief questions here. Working in radio, you meet a lot of guys who they want to be on stage somehow. They want to be comedians. They want to do something like that. But they either don't know how to start or they don't know what kind of challenges they're going to face. There's somebody out there right now, they're listening to them. They want to get into comedy. They want to be on stage. They want to make people laugh. I mean, what do you say to, you must get asked that a million times a day. What advice do you have for a guy who's
up and
coming?
Get a good day job and forget about it.
Get an agent that won't swindle you.
There's no real answer to it. Right now they have a better chance than in my day. They have these comedy clubs, you know. So I'm sure they have up in Oregon. And you got to work out some sort of routine and have confidence in yourself and get a guy, a manager of a comedy club, to let you go on stage and do 10, 15 minutes and see how you do, and then go from there. And then if you're lucky, you got to have a lot of luck and certainly talent. A lot of luck, because it's very competitive. And, I don't want to discourage any young person, but they got to know that they really got to love it and believe in it, because it doesn't happen overnight.
Or just or marry somebody well. Find a rich woman and marry her.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah. And then don't be swindled by a manager. That's probably the other thing.
Yeah.
We're talking to Don Rickles. Final thoughts, we get ready. There's, people can go to my website. They can find out about the Chinook Wind Show, which is happening next Friday and Saturday. For somebody like my producer, Sarah, who is 25 and just came up in an era where maybe she didn't hear a lot about your school of comedy and kind of where you came from, what you do. Somebody's never been to a Don Rickles show. What are you going to tell those people? What are they going to see when they come out there and they watch you perform?
Well, hopefully they're going to have a good time, a lot of laughs. As I said, it's something different. Than if you want to have a good time and see something completely different, I would suggest you come and see me. And all I can say is hopefully you'll agree with me.
And we have somebody, by the way. I got an email question. Somebody wants to know what your preferred cocktail is. They want to know what Don Rickles unwinds with.
Well, I live on vodka on the rocks. Pretty much nothing fancy. That's about it.
Fantastic. That goes over well with our audience. And I swear this is the final question, and then I'll let you know you're a busy guy, but you had a famous incident where you didn't break Carson's desk, but there was that thing that he kept his cigarettes in, right?
Right.
And you broke it, or you cracked it or something, and didn't Carson actually come get a camera and a microphone and track you down live and find you about that?
Yeah, well, I was next door. I was doing, by accident, it was all in fun. I actually broke his cigarette box, and he said, "Rickles broke my cigarette box." Well, what the hell is that? This is on the air, and Peter LaSalle, the producer, said, "Well, I don't know, Johnny." He said, "Well, where is he?" Well, he says, "It happens. He's next door." And in those days, I was doing a thing called CPO Sharky, a television series.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he came with the cameras and everything, and walked right in during the middle of a scene, and said, "You broke my cigarette box." And we went from there. We had a great time, and everybody fell down laughing.
Fantastic. Well, Don Rickles, I'm going to be there next Saturday. We're telling everybody to get their tickets.
Will you be there, Eric?
I will. Tim, my news guy, I will be there as well. I'm getting my wife to go with me.
Well, come back and say hello.
See, and then I could die happy. I can check that off the list of things to do, Don.
Please come back and say hello.
I absolutely will. I absolutely will. I will definitely do that.
And I appreciate your keeping my Don Rickles' story alive about coming to Oregon.
Oh, no, absolutely. Not to blow sunshine, but a couple weeks ago when I was talking to the marketing woman, and she said, "Hey, would you like to have an interview with Don Rickles?" And my producer, Sarah, can tell you that my eyes immediately lit up because
he's been excited for weeks.
And growing up, and I'm not a comedian, but I'm on a radio show, and I try to be funny and stuff, and your shadow looms so large over other generations. It really is an honor.
Well, you're a real sweet guy, Eric, and when I come up, I'll give you a cookie.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Don Rickles, thank you, Don.
Thank you, and good luck, and I look forward to meeting you.
All right, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott, if you want to talk to, there you go. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, Don Rickles, next Friday and Saturday, the Chinook Winds Casino. It's going to be, Sarah, do you want to, see you go? All right, okay, there you go.
That was a good interview, Eric.
It really was.
Eric, have a cookie.
Would you like to know that which sends another catchphrase in the making? Would you like to know the really funny thing about that is, I swear to God this is true, just yesterday I was having it. You work at CBS Radio, and there's all kinds of people that you know their name or you know their email address. Mm-hmm. But you have no idea what they look like. And then the other side of that equation is there's all kinds of people that, and Tim and I can attest to this, there's all kinds of people that you know what they look like, no goddamn idea what they do. One day they're gone, you know, and you have no idea what they ever, who did they fire the guy? I don't know, you know, just nothing. So I'm talking to a woman, and this is a woman, by the way, who, I won't say who it is, the woman at CBS Radio, who really holds all of our lives in her hand, going back and forth about a kind of a crucial issue about something that had to do with something else, not this program, but to do with something else, and she literally, she's like, so, Eric, and like right there in the email, is call me Eric. So apparently it's in the ether somewhere. Well, that was cool. I mean, look.
So, Eric, can I go backstage and be done recording?
Oh, dude, we're there. What are you talking about, man? I'm going to bring a camera. I mean, you know, the guy's 80 years old. Here's the thing. I admire any guy gets out of bed, 80 years old, out there, you know, on stage doing his thing. You know what I mean? Whatever. He's better when he's 40. You know what? He'll find your ass when you're 80 and see what you're going to be, but the pine box. So, you know, that guy, I mean, he created a whole, you take away Don Rickles, and I mean, you remove him from the chain, and there's no Sam Kinison. There's no, you know, there's no, for better or worse, there's no Andrew Dice Clay. There's none of those. Those guys, you know, you'd still have a lot of the other comedians out there, but he was a really indispensable link in that chain. And I mean, as much as it makes me sound just like an old guy, to talk to a guy like that, you heard him tell the story where he's sitting in the steam room having a schwitz with the Rat Pack. He was there. He was there at the Sands during the summit meetings, you know, which was those legendary shows that that Peter Lawford and, you know, and Sinatra and Dean and Marty. Really just a living piece of history. It was just fantastic.
I'm very excited for you guys. You get to meet Don Rickles.
Oh, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
So are you going to introduce yourself as Eric or Rick?
Let's go. You know what I'll do? I'll do that thing that you do sometimes if people have your name wrong, where you gloss right over it and you work in the correct thing, but then you say something else afterwards to cover up the fact that you just corrected. Like a whole.
You could say my friends call me Rick.
Or you just do Rick Emerson. You were on my radio show last week. You were great. So you get the Rick Emerson out there, but then you rush ahead to the compliment. And so what he remembers is the fact that you complimented him.
Ah.
Why you were in management.
That's right. That's why. That's the key. It's like when you don't. It's like when you you forget somebody's name. Like this happens to me all the time. I'll forget somebody's first name, last name, whatever. And so the key is to go, like, if I forget somebody's last name that they know, that like I'm supposed to know, because I'm the worst. Like I remember faces and I'm terrible with names. There are people that I've met 40 times at this company. You put a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you what their last name is. You know, it's like, is it Zingenstein? You know, I just got nothing. So I'll do the whole thing of, I'll be writing down the information, or if I'm on the phone, I will feign that I am writing down the information. I'll go, all right, Bob, and Bob, how do you spell your last name? You know, and then it's like a Jones, J-O-N-E-S. Jones, just want to make sure that you had the traditional Jones spelling, because I've seen that with a...
J-O-A-N-S.
I've seen that with an F before, and I want to make sure that... All right, there you go. Don Rickles, ladies and gentlemen. Good times.
That was a good interview.
It was an interview with Don Rickles. Good, bad, somewhere, doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. What's important is that I did it, and that he was on the show. All right. I do want to, you really should see it, man, if for no other reason than this. And we'll take a break. We'll come back. Here's what's coming up. Jim Roop from CNN Radio is going to be here. We've got Scott Dally from Film Fever Radio coming up later on. We'll count down the top five most overused music beds in talk radio. And Tim Riley and I have, we will attempt to assuage Scotty J's feelings of inferiority and uselessness by playing our own air checks from early on in our radio career.
I have some real crash. Some even before Sarah was born.
Tim Riley, now is this true? Did you tell me you have an air check that actually has CNN's Dick Uliano on it?
Yes.
From like 25 years ago?
It's from 1988.
How great is that, huh?
And he sounds much younger.
Well, so we got to, sometime next week we're going to get Uliano back on and play the air check for him. So I got those. I brought a couple air checks from my past, as well. Go see Don Rickles. Tickets available right now. Go to rickemerson.com. Look for the picture of the great guy giving the thumbs up in the tuxedo. You find the tickets right there. He really, in many ways, is the last comic standing, certainly from that era. So go find him. Go find those tickets.
And how often are you going to see him here? You're not.
This is the last time, man. I mean, I hate to be morbid, but I mean, how many chances are you going to have to go see that guy? Mm-hmm. All right. It's 503-733-2970. And stay there. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. This is how it begins, by the way. Hey, Eric. Fantastic interview. Whoa, can you turn that down? That's my computer there. I'm loading a YouTube thing. Oh, there we go. Eric, fantastic interview. Who knew you had it in you? How about this? Hey, I can swear he called you Eric. Great show, Eric. What a great interview, Eric. I have to admit, the kinder, gentler Rickles makes for a very interesting interview. What a gentleman. Have a good time backstage at the show. But here's the thing. Is it, you know exactly what's going to happen. Is it, Tim and I are going to go backstage. We're going to, no, we're here to see Mr. No, I'm, my name is William Miller. I'm a journalist with Cream Magazine. Wham! And a guy's going to punch me in the face.
No, see, what you've got to do is make your, you and Tim press passes. Since we found out you can just basically Xerox
them. We found out that all you have to have is like some construction paper and a, like a laminator.
Exactly. Something in the shape of Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon.
That's, yeah, that's the way East Coast people call it.
So is it because he's from like where is he from? Do you even know?
I don't remember.
He's from the Akron or some crap.
That's an East Coast pronunciation.
He's from Steubenville. It's like my friend Todd, who's this is when we were younger. We were younger, irascible hooligans, where he his tabs were expired on his car, tabs as they called them in Washington, and he didn't have any money, and he had like outstanding tickets and no driver's license and no insurance, and so I go into work late at night, as we were at the same radio station, and he's hunched over the desk, red construction paper, an X-Acto knife, and a big thing of whiteout, and he's busy making himself tabs for the car. He's just painting a big like, you know, 9-5, and then another one's like, sep. And I go out later, and he's laminating them, sticking them on his license, running down the car. It's 503-733-2970. Let's, Rick. Hell, Eric, you are so much better than that idiot Rick that used to host the show. Glad to hear you rock on. Now that Rick is gone, we'll still be doing horns across the Hawthorne. Yes, Eric. That's coming up 4 days, by the way.
Eric is Rick's evil twin.
Slightly, yeah. It's the Rick Light and Dark. So, yeah, 4 days away from Horns Across the Hawthorne. We'll talk more about that. Subject line of this, screw Sarah and Tim. Screw Sarah and Tim. I don't know what the hell Tim did. Tim was just sitting here. They're just jealous of you, Eric. Great interview, though. Who knew that Don Rickles would come off so down to earth? It's 503.
What did
503.
We do?
What?
What did we do?
I don't know. Apparently you were here.
No. there were times when people generally hate us for no apparent
That's
reason.
That's true.
Just, you know.
It's all about Eric.
It's the line of fire. It's 503-733-2970. In just a moment, we'll welcome CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop to the show. And then we've got the top five most overused talk radio music beds. Later on, Scott Daly will be here. And we have some terrible air checks from the from my back pages, as Bob Dylan would say. Vince, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick.
Vince.
All righty.
Okay.
Hey, I'm glad to see you're back on the air, man. I've been in depression. Ever since you went off the air and about a month and a half ago, I'm just listening to that 970 on the comedy, all these comedians, and you're on.
They're on the radio doing the humor.
Hey, yes. You're the man.
Thank you. How can I be the man when you're the man, sir?
Well, we're on the same page. I like to laugh, you know. You're a funny guy. I want to tell you that Don Rickles.
Yes.
I saw him down in Las Vegas at the Aladdin.
Uh-huh.
That guy, if you can't laugh at yourself when he's ripping on you, you got nothing.
Well, again, he sort of downplays it a little bit because I think he doesn't want to be pigeonholed. Even now, he probably doesn't want to be. But, I mean, I was trying to tell Sarah this because, you know, the commercial was playing. Sarah's like, well, I just, you know, she's like, maybe it's an age thing. She's like, I don't really get what is the thing about Don Rickles. And I was pointing out that there was a time, and this is even, it's not like when I was a boy kind of stuff, because it's way before my time even. But there was this time when you would go to see comedians and they were, it's not that they weren't funny, but it was a very sort of Shecky Green, you know, Henny Youngman kind of a thing, where it was just one-liners and jokes, and it wasn't pointed at all. It didn't have any sharpness, and they certainly didn't in any way ever insult the audience. That was the thing you never did.
Right.
And he's the guy who really changed that in a huge way. He gave what they call a paradigm shift to comedy, which meant that there was a before Rickles and there was an after Rickles.
Right.
And so, yeah. Anyway, well, are you going to be at the show next week?
What's that now?
You going to be at the Rickles show next week?
Oh, I'm going to look into it. I just heard about it on your station. So anyway, I'm just glad you're back on the air. I listen to you when
Thank
I
you,
can. You're all right.
Thank you.
I'd like to meet you sometime.
Okay. Come backstage. Thank you. Spread the word, sir.
You got it. Right, okay, there. Rick. Thanks.
All right, that's Vince.
Do you know Shecky Green is still alive?
Shecky Green isn't alive.
No, they kept playing this nonstop Shecky Green interview on closed circuit TV in my motel room in Vegas. It was like a torture chamber.
Nonstop Shecky Green interview is the best phrase I've ever heard in my life, by the way.
It was on the in-house channel.
I can't even imagine how old that guy must be.
Yeah.
They're all, I thought they were all dead. Red Buttons is dead, isn't he?
No, Red Buttons still around, isn't he?
All right, somebody, there we go. Let's somebody find out. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show a man both demonstrably alive and fantastic CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop in Los Angeles. How are you, sir?
I am well. So you had Don Rickles on.
He was great.
Wasn't he?
Called me Eric.
He called me Jerry.
There we go. So it is a bit. It's a shtick.
It's got to be.
We were wondering about that because I got this email like, Rick, I think he's screwing with you. He's calling you Eric to see if you'll do anything about it. And apparently, see, and I did not man up. I just let him do it, you know? So
yeah.
He called you Jerry.
Did he say, well, let me tell you something, Jerry. Did he say that?
No, he did. He tried to, he worked it in numerous times.
Yeah, that's the way he did with me, too, yeah.
I see. So there you go. Look, I've been insulted by Don Rickles. I mean, really, what else do you need to do in your life? You know what I mean? You
just
you do that. You climb Everest. You're the, you know, two chicks at the same time. You're good to go. That's it. You're the, all the things you need to do in this life.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's the first time he called me Eric, and this is a well-established dynamic on the show. It was like when we interviewed Steven Seagal, and we said, hi, Steven, and he went, and like immediately Tim and Sarah and I all kind of look at each other with that look that says it all, which is a whole, this is going to be 12 minutes of hell. I think Steven Seagal is dying on the phone. I think we are going to hear him expire and his heart stop and his brain decay away. Well, that's when Rickles calls me Eric. We immediately look at each other and we're thinking, Alzheimer's. And it's like, you don't want to be rude about it, but, you know. All right. How is
But he wound up being fun, right?
Oh, he was great.
Yeah.
Well, I was just saying, you know, and look, he's 80 years old. I mean, maybe he's not like the sharpest, quickest, funniest Don Rickles ever, but he's 80 years old. And I said, everybody's like, I'd like to see what I'm doing at 80 years old. Yeah. You know?
You still have, every now and again, little pearls of Rickles when he's talking to you. You know, you go, ah, that's the guy.
Yeah. I mean, well, and as A, pearls of Rickles is an unpleasant phrase.
That is the best phrase I've ever heard.
Let's not use that phrase ever again.
Rick, you should have gone with Rick Rickles for your radio name.
Rick Rickles. But it's, as Tim pointed out, too, he's undoubtedly one of those guys like Eddie Izzard was this way, where we had Eddie Izzard on the show, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, and I believed, and I think still believe, that he currently is the funniest man on earth. I do believe he is the most amusing guy currently drawing air on this planet. And I talked him up for this is where I learned to under-promise, over-deliver. Because I spent like a week and a half pimping this Eddie. He's gonna be the greatest. He's hilarious. You'll lose control of your bowels. You know, just everything. Gets on the show and he was just so tediously uninteresting. Just so unbelievably dull in every conceivable fashion. And the show was great that night.
Was he in studio or was he
on? Nah, he's on the phone. I think I woke him up somewhere. He was halfway through his French toast. But it's like, you know, there's onstage performing Eddie Izzard, and then there's begrudgingly doing the interview because a PR person saddled you with it at 9 a.m. Izzard. And I got the latter, so.
Too bad.
Yeah, well, what can you do? Hey, what's going on? I keep seeing the story coming across the wire, and it keeps being disappointing. CNN has this thing where they'll put stuff in all caps. And this time, as it has been three or four times over the last couple months, it is gas rage. Now, Ed McCarthy had a gas rage story a few weeks ago, and maybe my definition of rage differs from that of some, but I'm thinking beatings, perhaps some sort of a shooting.
California rages are always better than the other portions of the nation.
I'm thinking a limb lost, perhaps, and it's just, I asked Ed McCarthy about it. Well, what is this gas rage in Atlanta? And it was like some guy, like, didn't, you know, left without paying for his coffee or something. That was it.
No.
So
no.
What's going on? You got violence down there?
Yeah, it's getting pretty bad. I mean, people are throwing coffee on clerks and spilling, you know, dumping over display items.
Right.
They're starting to get real belligerent. And, yeah, they're driving off without paying, but that's, you know, if you're a gas station manager and you're an idiot, you don't make people pay first, then they drive off. What are you going
to
do?
Seriously, it's 2006. I can't fathom that anybody trusts customers to do anything like that.
Plus, when the gas prices are this high, come on.
Yeah.
It's a crime waiting to happen.
Really, what are you going to do?
You know.
So.
But no, it's getting bad. I mean, if it started out a few weeks ago with people just yelling at the clerk.
Right.
And then at some Chevron station, actually not too far from me, somebody threw some hot coffee on the clerk and dumped over some items. And then once that got out on the air, I mean, people were throwing, people reached for grip bags of chips and throw them at the clerk, try to smash the cash register in their hand. So now there's all this glass going up in front of everybody in these convenience stores. So, you can make that little transaction through a slot in the glass as opposed to actually breathing the same air the clerk is breathing.
It's just, this country is just getting better with every passing year, Jim Roop. All right. Well, and plus you've got the, is it true that Schwarzenegger's decided he's gonna send the National Guard down there to keep the people who aren't like me out?
Yeah, but he wanted to make sure he was still in control, so, until he was assured that the federal government was going to pay for this thing, and until he was assured that it was only going to be until December 31st, 2008,
right.
And until he was assured that he's still commander-in-chief of the state's National Guard, so if a natural disaster, well, or a man-made disaster happens in the state, he can grab the guard from the border if he needs them. So until he got all those assurances, he wasn't going to sign anything. And I guess he finally got that last sign-off yesterday and decided, okay, I'll sign the executive order. So in mid-July, I guess we're going to send 1,000 of the 6,000 troops to the president.
Well, fortunately, you live in a state where there are never any natural disasters and nothing ever happens. And at no point
That's what he's thinking. He's thinking, you know, I'm going to get him back in a couple of months. What's a big deal?
At no point do the elements turn against you there or anything. So, and this really is, as I've noted, this is the very definition of cosmetic action. Because 1,000 people are going to do nothing.
No.
They do a whole lot of nothing.
And he's even the guys, most of them, he says, aren't even going to have weapons. They're going down there to stand.
Okay.
And they're going to wear the uniforms. They're going to stand. Some of the guys who are on the front lines of drug smuggling or wherever those particular holes are in the fence,
right.
Those guys will have weapons. But for the most part, a good 60, 70% of the guard going down there.
So if you're trying to sneak in, they're just going to give you a ferocious scowling. Just a whole lot of finger wagging and like a furrowing of the eyebrows.
Go back across there.
Yeah,
they could throw sand at them.
Yes, we really mean it. Just all right.
Well, you're right. It's cosmetic, and it's just something to make the conservatives feel better.
All right. Well, making conservatives feel better, just because I know you're always looking for news scoops, I would encourage you, by the way, to be investigating the congressional campaign of one Vernon Robinson, who is a Republican running for Congress in North Carolina. Have you heard about Vernon Robinson?
No.
Are you able to, if we play sound down the phone, he can hear the sound down the phone, can't he?
Yeah.
I don't
know
about a tech.
Hold on. I'm gonna play you.
Are you
done
downloading the YouTube thing?
Yes.
Okay. I used to be union and not allowed to push buttons.
I think we've learned that we should all just be kept away from the equipment, period, in the studio.
It's been a rough week.
I'm gonna play you this, and I swear to you, this is real. This is not the zany radio gag. I'm not playing some kooky DJ thing. This is a real commercial I'm gonna play you now. This, in fact, I've actually got two of them here. I've got the Twilight Zone one, and then I've got the Twilight Zone one, and then I've got the one from yesterday. Which do you think I should play, Sarah? Which do you think is better? I'll play the mariachi one.
Yeah, yesterday's was funny.
Okay, this is the sound of an actual audio. This is a radio commercial being run by this guy, Vernon Robinson, who is a Republican congressional candidate in North Carolina. I'm now going to play you this radio commercial. All right, hold on. Sarah, is my computer?
Yes.
All right, and
your medical students and residents.
Oh, dope. I did that thing again. All right, here we go.
This message was paid for by Air Force Academy graduate Vernon Robinson. Every night, 7,000 aliens rush into our country illegally, and your ultra-liberal congressman, Brad Miller, refuses to guard the border. Instead of deporting them, he votes for amnesty and throws them a party with your tax dollars. Brad Miller gives these aliens welfare, driver's licenses, social security, free health care, free lawyers, free public educations, even free school lunches. These aliens pay no income tax and send their money back to Mexico. Then they take to the streets, waving the Mexican flag and demanding more. Unbelievably, Brad Miller voted to allow these illegals to burn the American flag while waving the Mexican flag.
Oh.
Brad Miller supports gay marriage and sponsored a bill to let American homosexuals bring their foreign homosexual lovers to this country on a marriage visa.
Oh.
If Miller had his way, America would be nothing but one big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals. But if you elect Vernon Robinson, that party's over.
I'm Vernon Robinson, and I approve this message because Brad Miller's out of touch, and soon he'll be out of Congress.
All right. Let's all just acknowledge the genius.
Jim, did you hear that?
Yeah.
There's really no... I mean,
Karl Rove couldn't do better. Or maybe he did that.
I mean, it really is like they boiled down the distilled essence of Rove into some sort of a 60-minute to 60-second commercial that you can topically apply to your conservative brain.
Let's hear his thoughts.
Thoughts, Jim Roop?
That's just so blatantly honest that someone's going to cry that it's politically incorrect.
You really do have to admire a guy who just is willing to be on the outside what many Republicans are on the inside.
Just call it like you see it.
All right, here's one more. I'm going to play you one more and then we'll let you go. This is his other commercial. This, by the way, this is a TV commercial, the visuals of which are black and white to make it look like a 50s style television ad. But this is his other television commercial.
If you're a conservative Republican, watching the news these days can make you feel as though you are in the Twilight Zone. Americans are under attack from Islamic extremists in every corner of the world. Homosexuals are mocking holy matrimony, and the lesbians and feminists are attacking everything sacred. Liberal judges have completely rewritten the Constitution. You can burn the American flag and kill a million babies a year, but you can't post the Ten Commandments or say God in public. 7 out of every 10 black children are born out of wedlock, and Jackson and Sharpton claim the answer is racial quotas. And the aliens are here, but they didn't come in a spaceship. They came across our unguarded Mexican border by the millions.
I'm Vernon Robinson. If you send me to Congress, I'll send that back to the Twilight Zone. I approve of this message and of traditional American values.
And then I swear to God, it ends with a shot of the Cleavers driving away in their station wagon.
Jeez.
There you go, Jim Roop. So think of you find it to be a slack news day, got nothing to talk about, there you go. The next CNN staff meeting.
I'd love to talk to that.
Oh, he's he is an African-American man as well.
Wait, is this North Carolina or South Carolina?
It is North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yes.
That's a civilized one.
Yes. 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 Yeah, they're not savages like the people in South Carolina. I couldn't find either on the map. I got nothing. All right, Jim Roop, enjoy your weekend, my friend.
Thank you very much.
All right. I'd like to end the week on an up there for you.
You're all right.
All right, thank you. That's Jim Roop, CNN radio correspondent.
You've rendered him speechless.
Los Angeles. Well, what really, what response is
you
there to
can't
that?
Really there's respond to that.
Really, there's really nothing else you can say about that.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
I like the
yai 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 woman in the background because all Mexicans do that all the time.
They take their foreign lovers.
And you can hear the quote marks around foreign too. Homosexuals bringing their
quote marks around lovers.
Foreign lovers. All right. Should we break or should we do a thing? Here's what we got. We got the top five we got to get to. Scott Daly's going to be here. Scotty J's man in the street thing from last week. We still haven't gotten to. And we got the top five most overused talk radio music beds of all time that we'll be counting down. I guess we're breaking. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. It's 503-733-2970. Like us at 3 World Famous Phil Henry Show at 7. Don't go anywhere. Back after this on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Here's Kiss.